Okay, so we are holding on Keth Zion Omid Bey, the seventh line of the wide line. The Mishnah mentioned that an Ir Nidachat has to be judged by the Beis Din of 71, and so that leads the Mishnah into a short digression with a couple of basic dinim about an Ir Nidachat. Most of the dinim of it are going to be in the last parak, but here the Mishnah presents us with some basic dinim about it.
Where are the places
it's discussed? What, Ir Nidachat?
Yeah.
The sides here are short pieces of Gemara over here. Like I said, the last couple of blocks of our Masechta are going to discuss it in great detail. That's other than that, that's pretty much it.
With me, it's hot here and it's cold there. Once we move the table.
Do that here.
If you're okay.
Yeah. If you're okay, then.
Yeah. Let me try to do it more this way.
All right. So the Eino is in Ir Nidachat. So we said that you can only declare a city an Ir Nidachat based on the Beis Din of 71. I think that's a Minani, maybe. Where do we know that from? Amar Pri Ba Yosef Amar Moshe. Do Amar Kra, because the pasuk says, we quoted this pasuk earlier in a slightly different context. We say when an individual serves of a desire, you should take out that man or that woman to your gates, meaning to your local Beis Din, and try them and convict them, and so forth, implying only an individual man or woman would you bring out to your gate, to your local basin. But if it's an entire city, then you don't bring it to Sharacha, then it has to be brought to the basin I got.
Okay.
Then the Mishnah said, yeah, that's the Jerusha, because otherwise it didn't need to say it. So Isha, because the Pasuk already said that if a man or woman is worshiping over the Dari. Then the Mishnah said, "Ve'ein oisin Ir Nidachas b'sfar," that you don't make an Ir Nidachas in a border city. My timer, why is that? Because the pasuk says that you find a city among you, implying v'lo min asfar, not where it's on the edge of you, where it's on the border of the country. Then we said, "V'lo shalosh Ir Nidachas," you don't make three Ir Nidachas. A Beis Din cannot make three cities in Ir Nidachas. Dichtiv achas. Because the pasuk says that you find one city. What's the lashon over there? The expression in the pasuk over there is that that kisishma ba'achas arata. You hear that in one of your cities that they've been convinced to worship of a desire. Now, aval oisin achas ishtayim. But on the other hand, so in that case, why can you make two? Well, you can make one or two. Dichtiv arecha, because the pasuk then continues, your city is plural. So achas teaches us one, arecha teaches us two, but that means not more than two. So they then can't make three. No, kisishma ba achas arecha. You hear in one of your cities. So it's not one plus two, it's one or two. Okay. Turn it up, one. Achas, when we say you can make one, achas v'lo sholosh, where the pasuk is one, it means one, but not three. Ata oim achas v'lo sholosh, ayin el achas v'lo shtayim. How do you know? Maybe it comes to exclude two also. No, kshu oim arecha, when the pasuk continues, your city is plural, ha'ishtayim omer, that it means that it's possible to have two cities be an Ir Nidachat. Mind you, I mean, later on, when we talk about Masechta, and in the middle of the seventh parak, we're going to talk about briefly, that according to one man d'omer, it never happened. So it never happened even once, let alone twice, but we're talking hypothetically.
Yes.
So why does the pasuk say achas? Achas for the shalosh, it means then you can make one or two, but not three.
Now, Ir Nidachat never happened.
According to one man d'amar.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then Sayer and
Meir. According to one man d'amar. No, there's a different man d'amar there also that says that happened. Yeah.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. Besides that, also, you do have cases that are somewhat similar to them. For example, Avshalom by David was somewhat like a Ben Sarumo. He didn't meet the technical definitions of it, as we shall see, but still, he was somewhat like that.
He came
to a bad end. Yeah. As far as Ir Nidachat, it's interesting. There's a famous verse from the Ragachavar that we find that when Sodom and Amorah and the other cities over there were destroyed, the pasuk says that the Eivishter rained down fire on Sodom and Amorah, and then it says he overturned all the cities. So why didn't he rain down fire on Adma and Tzvoyim, the other two cities as well? The Roger Trevor says, on the basis of this, the Eivishter was treating them like an Ir Nidachat. The Ir Nidachat is burnt, but you can't have three together. Therefore, only Tzvoyim and Amorah could be burnt. The other ones could only be over.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
That takes the Roger Trevor.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, Zimnin Omer Rav. So sometimes Rav said that this that we're saying that you can't have three is based in Echad Udeinu. And that means one based in cannot declare three Irin and Dacha during their tenure. But if you have different Batidinim, meaning again, we're talking about it's all done by the Beis Din Agadah, but we mean, in other words, Beis Din Echad would mean as long as the original members are still alive, but if they died and new ones are appointed, yeah, they can declare a new Irin and Dacha.
How much
sense should be used? Maybe all of them. Zimnin Omer Rav, but other times Rav said, Afilu b'shnayim v'shloish ha-batidinim la'olam ha'inu. Other times Rav said that no, it means that you can never make, in all of history, you can never make more than two. My time of the Rav, so what is Rav's reason? Mishum Korcha. The reason is because you can make a bold spot in Eretz Yisrael. If you have too many cities or declared an Irin Adachas, remember the Irin Adachas can never be rebuilt. We'll talk about the details of that at the end of the Masechta when we learn all the dinim. So therefore, you're going to end up having areas, large areas in Eretz Yisrael that can't be used for building. Omer Shlokish. Shlokish says Loishanu Elav Makom Echad. All this is only talking about if the cities are in one area. But if they're in two or three different areas in Eretz Yisrael, then they could make them. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Ein Oisim Mishum Korcha. And Rabbi Yochanan says, even then you can't. So Rashi explicitly says that Makom Echad means all in the Galil or all in the Yehuda. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Rabbi Yochanan Amar Ein Oisim, Rabbi Yochanan still says, you still can't make it Mishum Korcha because, again, you're making Eretz Yisrael bold. You're taking you're uprooting too much of Eretz Yisrael. Tanya Kavaseder of Yechanan. In fact, we learn a brayse that Joe was appointed of Yechanan. Ein oisin sholosh ayoros menudachos be'Eretz Yisrael. You cannot make three Irin Adachas in Eretz Yisrael. Abo oisin shtayim, but you can make two. So then achas be'Yehuda v'achas be'Galil. For example, you could make one Irin Adachas in Yehuda and the other one in Galil. Abo shtayim be'Yehuda, shtayim be'Galil, ein oisin. But you can't make two in Yehuda and two in the Galil. What? In Chutzlaret, no. It's Kisishma Ba'achas Arecha, Asher Hashem Alitecha, Noisim Lecha, Loshev Estram. It's talking about cities in Eretz Yisrael. Usmucha, Lesmar, Achvi La'achas, Ein Noisim, but it's near the border. You can't even make one. My time is Shema Yishmu Nochrim, Yach Rivu as Eretz Yisrael, because then the Goyim may hear of it, and they'll come, and through that open area now, which is, doesn't have a city anymore, which is undefended, and then destroy Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? What do you need of this border?
We didn't trust Stephen very much.
Well, yeah. So the question is,
no.
But that's what the Gemara is saying. The Gemara is bringing from a bride that you can't do it because the Goyim may hear that, look, a city has been destroyed. But the question is, typically, the Makir B'chom Rachmana Volayim Nasfai, what do you need? A logical reason. The Pasuk says, there's a cause. You can't make it on the border. The answer is Rav Shimon he did darish time of dekra. Yes, but this last brisa is going according to Rav Shimon, where Rav Shimon always tries to look for the underlying reason for what the Torah is saying, which actually the Minchas Chinuch points out. Whenever you find Rav Shimon doing that, you always find there's some kind of nafkamina in halacha. So he talks about various possible nafkamina. A few of them, one of them, for example, he mentioned, what if a city was on the border at one time, but now you conquered more area beyond it, and now it's not on the border anymore. According to the Chachamim, there is a kafir. It still can't be anywhere near that. According to Rav Shimon, nevertheless, it's not on the border anymore, so therefore the Pasuk wouldn't have any objection to you making it near any dacha. It's not going to open up a breach in the borders of Eretz Yisrael. Now, as far as this two or three business, the Rambam actually paskins that you could make three, that a Beis Din could even make three, provided they're in different areas of Eretz Yisrael. And the Ravid disagrees with him and says, on the face of it, who is the Rambam going like? I mean, it seems like he's going according to Rish Lakish, where Rish Lakish says that if it's Shnayim or Shlosh Mekayim is Oisin. But the problem with that is, first of all, the halacha is usually like Rav Yechanan against Rish Lakish. And second of all, Rav Yechanan has a Braise. So usually he ought to go like Rav Yechanan. Besides, Rav Yechanan has a Braise in his favor. So that's, so indeed the Ravid disagrees and says that, what is the Rambam talking about? The Rambam disagrees with the Rambam. He says, obviously, the Rambam doesn't know what he's talking about. He misunderstood the Gemara over here. So that was that thing that I sent earlier on the WhatsApp, that the Maharik talks about this, the Keset Mishnah brings it from him, that he has a part of a Tshuva, where he starts out with this whole little piece of poetry and goes in to explain in detail what he understands the Rambam's Shitta to be. He explains that the Rambam would understand that Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish are not really disagreeing completely. They're disagreeing only in the situation, let's say, for example, you have two cities in Yehuda, and right near them, one city in the Galil, then that would be a problem of Korcha. Rabbi Yochanan would say you can't do that. But Rabbi Yochanan wouldn't disagree that if you have one in the south of Israel and one in the middle and one in the north, so they're nowhere near each other, he wouldn't necessarily disagree with Rosh Lakish that that's fine for one Beis Din to do, and that Amman passed the point of that. Then the Mishnah continued.
Many times, right?
Many times. Yeah, many times. Against the Rambam.
And he's from Sagal, so?
The Rabbit was actually from Provence, from the south of France.
Oh, was it French?
Nowadays, modern terms, it would be French in those times. It was a separate kingdom and a separate Jewish area.
When was that?
In the Middle Ages. Right? In the Middle Ages, we're talking like the 12th, 13th century. All right, anyway, let's go on. The Mishnah said Sanhedrin Gdola Hoysa. The Mishnah started talking. The next thing is the composition of the Sanhedrin Gdola, that it consisted of 71 members, and Rabbi Yehuda said 7. My time is the Rabbanon, so what's the Rabbanon's reason that they say 71? D'amri Moshe al-Gabeh, and namely that they say that besides the 70 Tzkenim, you have Moshe as the 71st, who's above all of them. The reason is, Amakrot, the Pasuk says, V'yat v'sham imach, the Ebeshah tells him, gather together 70 Tzkenim, and they shall stand there with you, implying, imcha v'at v'adai, implying with you, meaning you're together with them. So there's 70 of them plus you, is 71. There, Rabbi Yehuda, what would Rabbi Yehuda answer to that? He would say, Imcha Mishum Shechina. He would say that when he was telling him to stand with you, it means because the Shechina is going to rest on all of you. It doesn't mean, though, that they're going to be, that you're all going to be members of the same Beis Din. You're going to be presiding over that Beis Din, but you yourself are not necessarily a member of it. The Rabbanan, what would the Rabbanan answer to that? They would answer, Omar Kral, yeah, but the Pasuk says a few Pasukim earlier, V'nosu Itcha B'masa Ha'am. It says they will bear the burden of the people with you. Again, implying Itcha V'at Ba'adai, implying they're with you and you're together with them. All on an equal level. V'er Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda would answer to that, Itcha means B'dayim Mach. The word Itcha doesn't mean that you're all members of the same Beis Din. It means that they're like you. They all have to have Yichus, they all have to not have Mumim, they all have to have the other, yeah. Rabbanon, what are the Rabbanon answer to that? They say, yes, we agree with that concept, but we can learn that from a different concept. Mm-hmm. The Pasuk says, when Yisrael advises Moshe to set up Bata Dinim, V'hokel me'olachal v'nosu itcha nasa. Yisrael advises him, they'll make it easier for you, and they'll bear with you. So again, with you. V'yalfa, Sanhedrin Gdola, Sanhedrin Tana, they would say, you can learn what happens with Sanhedrin Gdola, the qualifications for the Sanhedrin Gdola that they have to have, the Yichus and so forth, you can learn that from the Sanhedrin Tana, because what Yisrael was advising was the Sanhedrin Tana. He wasn't advising about a Beis Din HaGadol, they didn't need that. They for final things, they could go to Moshe. But this is lower.
What's the problem?
The truth is, we find in last week's parasha, right, that Moshe criticizes the Yidin for accepting the proposal. They should have, my Rashi says over there, that they should have said, Moshe, we want to learn Torah directly from you. We don't want other people in between over there, but they didn't. They were willing to accept. They're willing to accept the second best.
They didn't want to learn from Moshe.
Not that they didn't want. I mean, what is Yisrael coming and saying? That's going to be, it's too much of a hassle. Everybody has to wait for you all day, so everybody's going to get worn out. Still, when Moshe presented it to the people and asked them to put forward candidates, they should have said, never mind candidates, fine, we don't mind standing here all the time, we get to learn Torah from Moshe. But they didn't, and therefore Moshe criticizes them for it in Parshas Devarim.
This is long before, yeah.
What is
called that little... If the Sanhedrin Tana has to have 70 members,
right?
Yeah. Why they didn't want
to So the Rashi says over there that actually I don't think Rashi spells it out, but the Medrash, I think, spells it out that the Moshe is telling them, you probably figure that then this way there's likely to be Dayanim who you know, who you can more easily bribe or whatever, and therefore you. Right. Yeah, let's go on. Tananabon. When talking about how those 70 Tzkenim were chosen in Parashas Bahaloscha, and then we're going to also talk about we have the two special ones among them, Eldad and Medrash. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about that episode a little bit. The puzzle says by Yishar Shnei Anoshim Mamachne. It says two people were left over in the Machne. What does that mean? Yesh Emim B'Kalpi Yishtayu. Some say that they were left over in the ballot box, in the girdle box. What does this mean? Why was there a girdle? Like this. Shemashal Shamalak Kadosh Baruch Hu in the Moshe Etzvah Lishivimish Mizikni Yisrael. The Eibushter tells Moshe, gather to me 70 skanim of the skanim of the Jewish people. Omer Moshe Ketzad Eset. So Moshe is thinking to himself, what should I do? Every shishim is called shevet for shevet. Should I choose 6 from every shevet? Can't. Nimtu shnayim yaseda. 6 times 12 is 72. That's too many. That's too many. They just said 70. Ever chamisha chamisha mikol shevet shevet. I took 5 mishevet and nitzra asara chaser. That makes only 60. I'm 10 short. Ever shisha mishevet zeva chamisha mishevet zesh. I took 60. Ever shisha mishevet zeva chamisha mishevet zesh. Am I going to pick from some shvatim 6 and from some shvatim 5? Can't. Harini matokina ben shvatim. The shvatim are going to be jealous. Why do I get only 5 and the other shvatim get 6? Ma also. So what did he do? Bira shisha shisha. He picks 6. 6 candidates from each shevet. They had yeshivu mishnayim piskin. He took 72 slips of paper, parchment rather, whatever. Al shivim kosev zokin. 70 slips he wrote the word zokin. Ushnayim inir chalak, and the other ones he left blank. Bolon v'nosan v'kalpi. He mixed them and put them into a box. Amalahem boyu v'slupas keichem. Come, each of you pick a paper from the box. So anybody who picked a paper that said Zokin, he said, good, they just with Makadish you, and you're now Zokin. You're officially one of the 70 skates. The two people who came out blank, Moshe says to them, I'm sorry, but obviously the Abish doesn't want you. A girdle with all his Minashamayim. So what can I do for you? So what is the vote when we say that the two of them were left in the ballot box? Rashi learns that what it means is Eldad and Medad didn't even bother going to the ballot because they figured, what if we end up picking a blank one and it'll be embarrassing? So they stayed, when we say they stayed behind in the Machna, according to this Yesh Omerim, it means that they didn't even come, even though they were picked as among the 72 candidates, they didn't come forward to take their papers. So there is a different argument. So there is a different explanation that I saw, that actually what they did is they were doing it in order to spare somebody else's feelings, because if they end up getting one of the papers that says Zakin, it means because of them, somebody else is not getting it. So, yeah. Okay. Anyway, so that's one explanation.
But it's also not too good, because they were picked to serve.
Okay, but if they chose not to. But then, anyway, the pasuk goes on to continue that they stayed behind in the Machna, and they started saying Nevuah, as we're going to get to that part of the story too. What Eldad and Medad? There's different opinions, actually. There's different midrashim on it. One medrash is that they were actually Moshe's half-brothers during the period when we know the famous thing that Amram and Yecheved divorced, because Amram is concerned that now the babies are going to be killed, and so Miriam talked him back into marrying her. So according to one medrash, during that period, Yecheved married somebody else. This is before Mount Tertia. You're allowed to go back to your original husband afterwards. And she had the two children, Eldad and Medad. A different medrash. In that case, they would be from whatever shevet her husband was from. But according to a different explanation, they were actually two of the shvat. They were actually two of the second set of nesiim, who the Eibusha tells Moshe in Parshas Maaseh to pick new nesiim who are going to oversee the division of Eretz Yisrael. One of them is called Elidad ben Kislon, so he's Eldad, and the other one is called Kmur ben Shifton, and he's none other than Medad under a new name.
So the name in the
Eldad and Medad. It's true, it doesn't. Yeah. Okay, onward. There's a similar example where we find Moshe making a girdle among people where some of them are going to get and some of them are not going to get. The Eibusha tells Moshe in Parshas Bamidbar that you have to have you have 22,000 Levim, you have 22,273 Bechorim. So 22,000 of them, the Levim, are going to replace the Bechorim. The remaining 273 Bechorim each have to pay 5 shkolim to redeem themselves. The pasuk says, "Lakach chameshes shkolim legolgolus." You have to take 5 shkolim from each person. Omer Moshe, Ketzed Eset. So a similar problem. Moshe says, how am I going to do it? Ketzed Eset, Lahem Yisrael. How am I going to do it for the Jewish people? Im Omer Lekenli Pidyon Chavasei, any of the Bechorim that I go over to him and say, "You give me the 5 Shkolim and you exempt, Yomer Lekvab Dani Ben Levi." He could just as well tell me, I'm one of the ones who was redeemed by Levi. How am I going to tell? So what did he do? Rashi brings this on the Pazik there also. Hey, the Esu Mishnaim Elofim Piskin, he took 22,000 slips. I always say, I bet he wished he had a coffee machine. Because of Alei Ben Levi, and he wrote on them the word Ben Levi. No, on the other 273, he wrote on them 5 shkolim. Bolon Menosan Makalpi, he mixed them up and put them into a box, a much bigger box, obviously. Amalahan Tzlupis Geichem, he tells the Bechorim, everybody line up, and each of you pick your slip from the box. Misha Olav Yada Ben Levi, whoever picked a slip that said Ben Levi, Amalek Kvapada Acha Ben Levi, good, this shows, Minashamayim, you're one of the ones who was exempted by Levim. Misha Olav Yada, Hamesha Shkolim, anybody who picked a 5 Shkolim slip, Amalek, 10 Pidyon, but say, okay, well then pay up your 5 Shkolim and then you're exempt. So that's another example of Moshe making such a girdle. Anyway, so all of that is...
Did Moshe write everything or did he have
it? I have no idea. It says Rakasa all the end, so maybe he wrote them. I don't know. Yeah. Look, if he was able to write 13 Sifrei Torah on the last day of his life, you know, he could write 22,000.
Yeah.
Onwards. Okay, so all of this is one opinion, what it means by Yishar, Shnei, Noshim, Amachna, that Eldad and Meder are left in the Machna. According to this one opinion, it means they didn't go to the balloting in the first place. Rav Shimon and Rav Machna Nishtayu. Rav Shimon says that it means they stayed behind in the Machna for a different reason. The Shasha Amalai HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe asked for the Yishivim Ish, because when the Evishta says to Moshe, gather to me 70 people, Amru Eldad and Meidad, Einon Ruin, Lois Ignulus. The Eldad and Meidad say, never mind, we're not even worthy of that kind of greatness. We're not worthy of being members of the Sanhedrin. Amr HaKadosh, and I'm having Ruach HaKadosh. Amr HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so the Evishta says, Hoyol Mi'atzem Asmachem, since you made yourself small, since you were humble, Harini Moshe Gdullah, Gdullah Asmachem, then I'll add an even greater greatness that you'll have above the other 70 scales. What greatness did they have that was more than everybody else? Shanavim kulam nisnabu pasku. All the other seventy skenim said nebuah that one time and then stopped. Him nisnabu v'loy pasku. They said nebuah and they never stopped. They continued being nebuim for the rest of their life. Uma nebuah nisnabu. What was the nebuah that they said on that occasion? Of course. Amru, they said, Moshe met Yeshua, Machmet is Israel. They said, Moshe is going to die, and Yeshua is going to be the one to bring the Yidden and Teretz Yisrael. The Bala Turim on the Pasuk actually points out that the word Misnabim stands for Moshe Tanuach Nafshei Began Elikim.
Wow.
Yeshua Machmet. Okay.
Say that again.
Moshe Tanuach Nafshe Began Elikim. Moshe, his neshama will rest in the garden of the Eveshte. Yeshua Machmet. Yeshua will bring it. Well, of course, but the Yeshua is going to bring the Yidden inheritance. Abba Hanan Omer Meshum Rabbi Eliezer. Abba Hanan says in the name of Rabbi Eliezer, Al Iske Slob in Misnabim. They said Nevuah about what was going to be happening right after this. This story about the appointment to Sanhedrin is interleaved and stuck in with the story with Yidden are complaining they want meat. Maybe they should tell Moshe to give them enough meat to show them. So now these two are saying Nevuah. What kind of meat are you going to have? Ali Slav.
Come up, Slav. There you go.
Yep.
Slav is not meat. I mean,
Slav is this quail. It's a fat bird. Yeah, well, birds are meat. What do you mean, not really?
Of course.
You can't eat them. You can't eat them with milk. Yeah, they're meat. Rav Nachman Amar Al Iske Gog Magog famous Nabim.
Rav Nachman said they were saying Nevuah about what's going to happen with Gog and Magog,
the famous battle of Gog and Magog. Shenema, because as the pasuk says, long, long afterwards, and the Navi Yechezkel says Nevuah about Gog and Magog. He says Toyamar Hashem Alekim, so says Hashem Alekim. He's speaking to Gog. Ha'atahu Asher Dibarti B'Yamim Kadmonim. Are you the one of whom I spoke in ancient times via Davada Nevi Yisrael through the agency of my servants, the Neviim of the Jewish people? Hanibim B'Yamim Ahem Shonim, who said Nevuah in those days, in those years, Lahaviyos Kalehem, that I'll bring you again. Against the Jewish people, and then you'll be defeated. So, where do we see that? That's Eldad and Meidad. I'll take you Shonim el Shnayim. Not Shonim years, but rather Shnayim two. Where do we find two Nevi'im who at the same time are saying the same Nevi'ah? Now, why at this of all things would they be talking about Gog and Magog? So there's a few different explanations, but one particularly that I can tell over easily from Avianus and Ibishit is that
the idea behind the
Gog and Magog, we know there's a famous thing that Mashiach ben Yosef was Mashiach ben David, and there's the idea that the germ of the idea is in Gemara Sukkah. It's brought in various mitzvot in more elaboration that Mashiach ben Yosef gets killed during Milchamas Gog and Magog. And let's not get into whether we generally say Milchamas Gog and Magog was already, was World War II, whatever, that's it. Because he's prepared the way for Mashiach and David. But anyway, the point is, now when Eldad and Meidad are saying Nevuah, according to the first opinion, that Yeshua is going to be the one leading the Jewish people in Eretz Yisrael, they start thinking, does that mean he's Mashiach ben Yosef? Does that mean he's going to be killed by Milchamas Gog and Magog? So no, they're saying a Nevuah about Milchamas Gog and Magog. No, that's a long time in the future. Yeshua is going to lead the Jewish people in Eretz Yisrael and do his thing and live out his life. Long afterwards is going to be Milchamas Gog and Magog, in which Shach Mashiach ben Yosef will be killed.
Shach said that he was
to stop it. Oh, well, there you go. Okay.
The
yeah. interesting, because usually the Velt says, and I think even the Rebbe said, that World War II was Mohammed's Gog and Magog.
Right, I know, but indeed the Rebbe does World War II was Gog and Magog. No.
Not really.
I'm talking about the pogroms.
The pogroms? Yeah.
Who was Gog and who was Magog?
What? Fascist Hitler, the Machmo, was Gog, and his nation, the Germans, were Magog. I don't know. Anyway. Yeah. Okay. Right.
The descendants from Amalek?
There is an idea that goes back to the only going that, yes, the descendants from Amalek. Okay. Omamah. Kolon of him kolon nisnabu apostle, behind nisnabu vele apostle. Let's go back to, we said in the Braisa that all the other 70 Skenim who were with Moshe Rabbeinu, they said Nevuah once, and then that's it, they stopped. Behind nisnabu vele apostle, we said Eldad and Medad was special, they said Nevuah and continued. Question is, Menolad the apostle, where do we know that the other Nevi'im stopped? Ilayim v'dichtiv v'isnabu v'lo yasafu. So you're going to say, because the Pasuk says they said Nevuah and lo yasafu. Lo yasafu can mean that they can, actually, Rashi actually points out on the Pasuk, on the basis of our Gemara over here, the word yasafu can have a double meaning. It can mean they didn't continue, and it can mean they didn't stop. So if we assume that it means yasafu means they didn't continue, that's himshichu is Lashon Chazal. Lashon Apostle could be yasaf, could mean to continue. Yosef Hashem Liben Achaz, for example. Yeah, okay. Anyway. So the question is, if you're going to say that lo yasafu means they didn't continue, elamasa kill God over lo yasafu, what are you going to do in this week's parasha? It describes the Abish's great voice by Har Sinai that did not yasaf. What does it mean? The Abish never spoke to humanity again? Of course, he spoke to the Nevi'im. Rashi actually brings on the Pasuk factor, of course, that you have the two different possibilities, that lo yasaf could mean the Abish never spoke in such a public thing to the whole nation ever again. It can also mean the famous thing that we all know, the sikha that the Rebbe talked about, lo yasaf, the Medrash says one meaning is it had no echo, it penetrated straight through. Anyway, our Gemara over here is assuming, if you're going to say the word yasaf means continue, the Abish's voice did continue. And then again, Rashi brings down the pasuk that one meaning of v'lo yasaf is that it didn't stop. That v'lo yasaf, it didn't stop, it continued throughout all the generations. Well, yeah, but we're talking about after that, sorry. Elot v'lo yasaf, who obviously by kol god v'lo yasaf, it means a voice that never ceased, because the Eibush still continues to give us the Torah constantly. So how do we know again that these 70 Nevi'im never again said Nevuah? No. No, the difference is like this. By the other 70 skenim, it says vayisnabu in past tense. Hasam ksiv nisnabim, whereas by Eldad and Medad, it says in the present tense, nisnabim. They are saying nevuah, implying adayin nisnabim v'hochem. They still continue to say nevuah. Okay, so we have three different opinions what they said. Again, one opinion was they're saying Moshe is going to pass away and Yeshua is going to lead the people of Israel. The second one is they're saying about the Slav. The third one is they're saying about Gog and Magog. So, let's continue. The next part of the story is what do we have when they're saying Nevuah? Vayara Panar, the young man runs. It actually brings that maybe it was Gershom, the son of Moshe. He runs and tells Moshe, Eldad Amazon, the Snabim Mamachne, and Yeshua gets upset, the Adoni Moshe Kloim. What is he so upset about? If they're saying Moshe is going to die and Yeshua is going to lead the people, I can understand why Yeshua is upset for his Rebbe's honor. Kloim, as we'll see in a second, what Kloim means. But if you're going to say they're saying Nevuah about the Slav or about Gog and Magog, my Adoni Moshe Kloim, what's Yeshua so upset about? What's the chutzpah? The answer is the Lava Oidachara, it's still not Derech Eretz. They have like a Talmud Amora Halacha B'Fnei Rabbah. Still, Eldad and Medad, by saying independent Nevuah like that, or like a Talmud saying a Halacha in front of his Rebbe. They have to be able to say Nevuah, but not in front. They should ask permission first. Moshe Rabbeinu, we received a Nevuah of the Eveshter. Right. Permission to tell it over.
Sounds like they did without control.
No, they told them
they would be the Abish.
Fine, but doesn't mean they still.
The Abish said, why Moshe Rabbeinu has to be us?
Because the Moshe Rabbeinu was still their Rebbe, out of Derech Eretz for their Rebbe.
Did the Abish tell him to prophesy without asking Moshe?
Did he tell them with Moshe?
In general, when a Navi receives a Nevuah, he's obligated to tell it over. And we'll learn in the next last parak about Navi Shekhov HaShnevuah, but he still has to ask, it's still Derech Eretz for him to ask permission. So therefore Yeshua is upset that they didn't do that. By the way, there's various opinions, our Shah talks about, the various opinions, what they said Nevuah about, we all learn it from the word Bamachne. If we say it's Yeshua, Moshe met Yeshua Machnes, that's Bamachne, it's about what's going to happen with the Machne in the next 40 years. If it's about the Slav, that the Slav is going to fall around the Machne. If it's about Gog and Magog, the Machne of Gog and Magog that's going to come and encamp against Eretz Yisrael. Okay. Anyway, so So, okay, next. Vishlang Lamandam Hanachtati. Fine. Now we can understand, according to the last two opinions, if they're saying Nebuah about the flood or about Gog and Magog, I can understand. Hanachtib mi yitin. That's why Moshe is answering Yeshua. What are you getting so upset about? Halavai, all the Jewish people wouldn't be. Evel Lamandam and Moshe mess, but according to the opinion, they're saying Moshe is going to die. Menachab and Nichale. Would Moshe be so fine with that? Takazo, what are they doing? Takazo, you should be upset that they're saying. The answer is Lois Saimua Kame. According to that opinion, they didn't tell him the whole thing. They didn't tell him the whole thing. So some of the Mephoshim want to say that maybe what it means is they just told him generally Eldad and Mazer are saying Nebuah without telling him the content of it. There's different other explanations. No, but maybe they just told him Eldad and Mazer snabbed him without spelling out what they're actually saying.
What did they say?
According to that, the Gershom comes to Moshe and says, Takis, Eldad and Mazer are saying Nebuah. Without telling him what,
before
he even knew what they're saying, then Yeshua speaks up, Haytacha and Adoni Moshe Klaim, and Moshe says, Mi yitin kalam Hashem Nevi. There's other explanations also, including one. There's another explanation also that when it says Lo Saimur Kameh, means they told them the part about Moshe Mess. They didn't have a chance to tell them the part about Yeshua Mach, which therefore, fine, Moshe figured to himself, fine. We know that a Gzeira from the Eibishter for bad can mean a spatel. A Gzeira for good can never be Nisbatel. Moshe Mess was Gzeira for bad. Fine, I'm not so worried about that. The Eibishter can be Mavatel. Yeshua Machnas is already a good thing for him. That the Eibishter is not going to... So if he had heard Yeshua Machnas, the Taka might have been upset because he only heard Moshe Mess. He wasn't too worried about it.
Is it more arcane?
I think it's also from maybe Anderson Eibishter. I don't remember. And then there's another one from another one of Acharonim, something along the lines of that Moshe is not so worried about that he's going to die. Fine, eventually everybody dies. His concern is, we find in this week's parasha, he desperately wanted to go into Eretz Yisrael to have a chance to do the mitzvahs that are in Eretz Yisrael. So if he hears just Moshe Mess, big deal, fine. It can mean Moshe will die sometime after he gets into Eretz Yisrael. But when he hears Yeshua Machnas, it means that obviously he's not going into Eretz Yisrael. That tackle would have upset him. Fascists. Yes. Okay. Right.
There was a retirement back then.
Yeah. Okay. My Chloim. Yeah. My Chloim. We have to ask.
What
hasn't told him yet? Haven't taken. This is before the Chet. This is before the Chet of Adagim. This is before the hitting the rock and whatever. Yeah. Yeah. This is long before. What?
Before he sees the flood.
This is by the flood. This is Parshas Baal Oseh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh.
Yeah, my kloim. Now we have to ask, when Yeshua is telling Moshe kloim, what does that mean? Usually you would think kloim means put them in jail, but you don't put somebody in jail for saying Nebuah. So what does that mean? Omalei, it means that Yeshua is telling him, hafel aleim tzorchei tzibur, make them busy with tzorchei tzibur, behem kolin mehalein, and they'll get worn out on their own. Or actually, it says that kolin mehalein means they won't be able to say Nebuah anymore because they'll be so not so much busy, but they'll have aspers. The shin only rests on a person. It's a simcha. When they're too busy with tzorchei tzibur, that's going to get them so depressed they won't be able to say Nebuah anymore. Okay.
You didn't get the right kind of seltzer. You didn't get the right kind of cup.
Okay. Onward. The Mishnah had said. Okay. The Mishnah had said. Finally,
the last part of the Mishnah
was discussing the question. Well, next, the last part of the Mishnah was discussing the question. Fine. The basin of 71 or 70 according to Yehuda, we get from these psukim that we just discussed. What about a small Sanhedrin of 23? Where do we get 23? So we said because you need 10 to be able to be Mezakehim, 10 to be able to be Mechayev, and 3 more in order to make it that you can have a majority of 2 to convict him. So the Mishnah said, Minayim lahav yod shlosha, how do you know another 3? So the question is, Sof, l'ro'a al-pishnayim, l'meshkachas lo. Fine, but the bottom line is, how are you going to ever have a majority of 2 to convict a guy? We learn from the Pesukim the majority of 1 is not enough. You need a majority of 2. What was an odd-numbered base in? How are you going to ever have an even-numbered majority? And if you have 11 who exonerate him and 12 who convict him, then it's only a majority of 1, not enough to convict. And if you can have 10 exonerate him and 3 want to convict him, then you have a majority of 3. And the Pesuk is saying a majority of 2 is enough to convict. What's the scenario? But then the pasuk shouldn't say 2. The pasuk should say 3. You can find it as follows. You can find it according to everybody in a case of a small Sanhedrin where they have to add more dayonim. Namely, you can have a case, which we'll talk about later in the Masechta. Suppose you have the based in a 23. 11 of them vote to convict the guy. 11 of them vote to acquit him. One of the dayonim says, I don't know what to do. But then the din is, we consider as if that dayan doesn't exist at this point. So now you have a base din of only 22. What you do is you add 2 more dayanim. Now you have 24. And they revote. And now you can have, for example, 11 against 13. And there is your majority of two. So that's one way of doing it. And if you have the two extra ones, if each one of them goes to one direction, you have 12 to convict, 12 to acquit, then you add two more, and you keep on going until you reach 71. So that's according to everybody. You can have, in that case, you can have an even number based in. Another way you could have it, according to Rabbi Yehuda, who said that the based in a gadol is not 71 members, but 70. Then according to him, you could have 36 convicting, 34 acquitting. So there also you can have a majority of two. But Amar Rav Abahu, also Rav Abahu says, "Meisifin oisim based in shachar l'chatchila." When you're adding two more dayanim at a time, then you can make an even numbered based in even l'chatchila. So again, like we said, you have 22 who already voted one way or the other. You're adding another two, you have 24 now. You have the 25th is there, for example. But he said, "I don't know," so he doesn't count. So the question is, pshita. Well, obviously, if you're adding two at a time, if you have one who doesn't know, and you add two at a time, then you have an even number. The answer is now to tame a high to come any adek man de isegami. You would think maybe that one who originally said, "I don't know," we should still consider him to be part of the basin. We should consider as if he's still there. Therefore, the omer milsa shaminimai. Therefore, maybe if now he speaks up and he says, "You know what, I figured it out," maybe we should listen to him. Kamash malon, no, that's your Abahu's point. To high to come any adek man de lesegami. The one who says, "I don't know," from that point on, it's as if he's not there. And therefore, if he says a reason now, then we're not going to listen to him. Now, by the way, most of the Rishonim learn, and this is how the Rambam brings it lahalacha, we don't mean completely. We don't completely ignore him. If he wants to say something l'chut, he'll be able to. But if he wants to say something l'chayva from now on, nothing given. But in that sense, therefore, so if he sticks to his any idea and he can't find any reason to acquit, then you're going to end up with an even number base, and that's what we're talking about. Amar Rav Kahana, famous for it, Sanhedrin Shiro Kol Mechayva Poitrinu. If the Sanhedrin, when they start out the case, all of them vote, all of them are thinking to convict him, then you patter him. We all know the famous vote, Kol Chayev Zakai, that if everybody says he's guilty, then you let him go free. My timer, why is that? Kivin Digmiri Halonastin, Lamevad Leisfusa, because we know when it comes to Dini Nefoshes, you can't try the guy and convict him on the same day. You have to wait overnight. You have to sleep on it. Maybe you'll come up with some idea overnight to acquit him. Since Lachila, they started by all seeing to his detriment, then they're not going to. We assume they're not going to be able to, and therefore the halonas din is not going to accomplish anything, and therefore, yeah. So most of them, before Shem, understand it the way we just said it, and that's back at Allah. There are a number of Rishonim, the Rama, the Rosh brings it in his name, whatever, who hold actually Poitrinos, it means the other way around. It means if they all hold to convict him, there's no need for Halonas Din even. Convict him on the same day and execute him. Poitrinos, it means get rid of the case, not pass to the person, but get rid of the case, dispose of the case, and then. But the halacha is not like that. The halacha is it means fact that we acquit. And there's a lot of deeper reasons brought for it. Among them is the idea that every person has first a little bit of good in him, and if they can't even see that, and they're talking about judging him right, and therefore they'll have to leave it up to the Eidoshet. What? No, Sanhedrin, you're talking about a Sanhedrin, you're talking about Chavlonis. That's if they execute a person more than once in 7 years, or 70 years, we'll learn that in the Matthew of Eidoshet, but yeah, this is something else.
Where is that explanation from? Why is finally a little bit of good?
I think the Maharal says it, but I'm not sure. I'll tell you, by the way, Lahavdil, a few years ago, there was a conference on Jewish law in D.C., I think, or something, and they invited one of the chief justices, Scalia, to speak by it. So he said a vote on this. He said, you know why it is? These are Jews we're talking about. They never agree on anything. If they all agreed to begin with to convict the guy, something's got to be wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's brilliant. Yeah. All right. Onward. Yeah, of course, it's not the real reason, but you know. Okay.
Really?
Yeah. So I read someplace. Yeah. All right. Onward. Amar of Yisrael. In Meshivin the Sanhedrin, the qualification to sit on the Sanhedrin, you can only seat on the Sanhedrin as follows: El Bale Koma, people who are tall, push it this way. People look up to them, literally and figuratively. Obale Chachma, they have to be wise. Obale Mara, they have to be handsome for the same reason. People, no. Obale Zikna, they have to be old. And now we don't mean old. We don't mean too old. We're going to learn later on in the theft. Actually, they can't be so old that they've forgotten what Sa'ar Gidobonim is anymore. But they can't be youngsters either.
Aged.
they're middle-aged, let's say. Or Balik Shotim, they have to be an expert in Kishuv, because, like, Rashi says, of course, you're not allowed to do Kishuv, but you're allowed to learn it. That like this, Rashi says, for listen, first of all, okay, Rashi gives a reason like this. Imagine you have a Mechashif is brought to Beis Din, and he's figuring, I'm going to use my Kishuv to save myself. Beis Din has to be able to know, to deal with such a guy, to be able to outflank his Kishuv, outsmart his Kishuv, and get him. We'll learn later on in the Sefer, we'll learn the famous story of Shimon and Shaphach on the 80 witches. We'll talk about that, for example. Also, for example, Rashi says you need to be able to know when they're using their kishuv, for example, to be mesis madiach, to convince other people of the truth of what they're saying, to worship of a zara or whatever. You need to know what they're doing. Other mafreshim talk about the idea. You need to know, for example, are they doing real kishuv or only achizat einayim, just pretending, which we'll learn later on in the sefer. There's differences between those. So yeah, whether it's chayim mitzvah or not. Yeah. The yodim ba'ayin loshen, and they need to know all 70 languages. So the Sanhedrin should not have to listen through an interpreter. When Edom come from other countries, you need to be able to understand them. This is the famous thing. We all know the famous thing that Mordechai knew the 70 languages because he was a member of the Sanhedrin. Okay. Amr of Yehuda Amr of Yehuda Amr Rav. In Meshivin the Sanhedrin, Ela Meshia Deh L'Tarah L'Hasheret Minatorah. You can only see that the Sanhedrin, somebody who knows Minatorah, to be able to declare that a Sheret is Tomei. Now, Tosfos asked the question, the fact is a Sheret is Tomei. Who cares whether the guy can come up with some Charifus Shel Hevel, Tosfos calls it, like some Krum of Svara to say. The fact is, the Torah says it now. So Tosfos has a long explanation that boils down to that what it means is, this person, not as saying a Sheret is Tomei, of course not, the Torah says it's Tomei. But how do we know, for example, a sheriff is only the time of the maga, only if you touch it. Not if you carry it without touching it. For example, you carry it on a pillow, let's say. How do we know? It shouldn't be like the nevela of an animal. Maybe it should be the time. If you touch it with your hand or whatever, yeah.
Not with your hand, with something.
If you touch it with something in your hand, then no. Then the thing itself becomes original trauma. Then the thing itself becomes original trauma. Whatever, let's not get into that. The point is that if you carry a sheriff inside a box, for example, you don't become tummy. How do we know it's actually not? How do we know it shouldn't be tummy like a nevela? That's what we mean. But the tyrant, the sheriff, and a servant. With that said, the usual explanation is that attacker means that he could figure out a krum or svara like that. So they talk about the various possible explanations, including that he means, of course, he knows it's Tomei, it's Tomei after all. But he's able to find svaras that he could argue contrary were it not for the fact that the Torah says otherwise. They say a vote on it also, that this way also it goes together with the previous thing. It means, therefore, he can even find something good in a sheret, same way. This is somebody who can even find good in somebody who everybody else is thinking to convict. Yeah. I'm a Rav, so Rav says, let me give you an example. I'm the Odun Batar, I can give you a Kalachomer to make a sheret tar. A snake, which kills people and therefore causes more tumor, because the dead body of a human being is the tumor. Tar, and yet the snake itself is tar. A dead snake is not matame anything at all. It's not even considered one of the Shemona Shrotin.
A dead person, though.
But a dead snake is not. Most dead animals, most dead four-legged animals are matame, but are matame as an avail, the mago or the master. If you touch them or if you carry them. You have among these smaller land creatures only the Shemona Shrotin. A kadosha, then a smaller piece, the size of a lentil, is enough to make you tummy maga, but not the matzah. How do we know? No, when it's dead.
A rabbit
is not one of the Shemona Shrotim anyway, but let's say, for example, a rat is one of the Shemona Shrotim. A live rat is not matama. Not matama. There's actually a story, I think, in the Gemara, I think, in Pesachim, that one time the king and queen over there, Shlomti and her family, were making a whole party for a wedding or something, and all of a sudden, in the middle of the party, they found a lizard lying there in the middle of the kitchen, and it looked dead. And that means everybody is tummy. And they used to eat chulin b'tara. Till they called in Shimon ben Shatta, and Shimon ben Shatta advised them pour cold water on it. It's only torpid from the heat. It's not actually dead. It's fainting basically from the heat in the kitchen. Sure enough, they poured cold water on it and slithered away. So therefore, everything was dark.
He made her sure.
No, no, that was a lie. That's different. That there's no reason. Yeah, okay, fine.
Isn't this Chovachomer in Erevin?
It is, indeed.
It doesn't say Erevin here.
It's at the bottom of the previous Amud.
Where? The
and the Odin Vatarenu. There's a footnote over there.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Anyway. Yeah.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah.
No,
yeah. It is at the bottom. Irubin Yusimu Shami Sirubin.
Yes.
Okay. Anyway. So, Madach, a snake which kills people and therefore causes more tumma to exist, but a dead snake itself is tar. Sheret, Shane and Mamis, the Mabra Tumma. So, Sheret, like a rat or a lizard or what have you, that is not Mamis and does not cause more tumma, ain't a dinshi hatar, how much more so it should be tar. However, the Gemara points out, Veloihi, that's not a valid Kalvachomer. That couldn't even be the one, let's say, that the Sanhedrin would be able to use. Needed to have that coat for Alma, because you could answer right back. A snake, then, in that case, is no different than a thorn. A thorn can also kill somebody. So, not a thorn, like a tiny little thorn, but whatever, something large enough to pierce a vital organ is enough to kill a person. When we learn Chulin, when we learn all about Shreifas, we'll talk about cases where an animal accidentally swallows a thorn and it punctures an internal organ or whatever. A snake is no different than that. Obviously, a thorn is not metame. There's no reason to think that a snake, just because it's a cause of death, that it should be any different.
Is that so?
Yes, and that's fact. Well, the fact is, a snake is not metame. It's not one of the Shemar Neshratin. But the point is, the Kavachomer doesn't even work as a Kavachomer because you couldn't. A snake in that regard is no different than any other potential cause of death.
But I don't like a snake
because
so much
harm would not be enough. But it's not. Amar of Yehuda Amar Dam. Any city where you don't have two people who are able to speak and one person who is able to listen, they do not see the Sanhedrin in such a place. What do we mean by to speak and to listen? Rashi says, we're going back to the Shivim Loshim thing. You don't need, according to Rashi, that all the members of the Sanhedrin have to know the 70 languages. As long as you have at least two people on the base din who are able to speak all 70 languages, and one of them who can't speak it but can understand it when it's spoken to him, that's good enough. You learn it from foreign travelers or whatever. The Rebbe learned half a dozen languages when he was a boy from dictionary. How do you think that Evan knew the number of languages that he knew? English, for example. He knew English before he came to America. He learned it from there. He always spoke it with a heavy accent, as you can always hear on the videos. He still, you know. Yeah. Okay. The Rambam and the Ran, on the other hand, understand that, no, the Ladaber and Lashmoya over here means not the 70 languages. According to them, everybody has to know the 70 languages, like we said before. What it means is, Ladaber means to be able to speak in any area of Torah. And Lishmoya means maybe they can't speak on their own in any area of Torah, but if it's spoken to them, they can still participate in the discussion.
They had areas of Torah back then.
In other words, the idea is the rest of them can sort of be specialists. They can specialize in one area of Torah. But you need at least two, you need at least three generalists to know Kol HaTorah Kula. Over Beito HaYushloisha, in Beito there were three such people. Over Yavna Abban, the Sanhedrin, and Yavna there were four. Who are the four? Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Akiva, Shimon HaTzimni, Dom Lefnei Bakaka. You have the three colleagues, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, and Rabbi Akiva, and then you had they all spoke, well, according to Rashi, it means that they all spoke 70 languages. According to the Rambam, everybody on the Sanhedrin had to speak 70 languages, that's no Kiddush. The Kiddush is that they knew Kol HaTorah Kula. And the Shimon HaTzimni, Dom Lefnei Bakaka, and you had Shimon HaTzimni sitting on the ground in front of them as one of their Talmidim. He didn't yet have Smicha, and he's sitting on the ground in front of them and discussing with them. He's the fourth one who's Medaber.
But he's sitting on the ground.
He's sitting on the ground because he's a Talmud. He didn't yet receive Smicha. Okay, the Gemara says, Meisvi, I have a contradiction. You're telling me that two people who are able to daber is enough for a Sanhedrin, but a Braisa says, Shlishis Chachma, a Sanhedrin that has three Medabrim is a wise Sanhedrin. Revius Ein Lamaila Hemena, and if there's four, then there's nothing greater than that, implying you need at least three. So where did you get that as long as you have two, it's enough? The answer is Hudama Ki Haitana. The earlier one, when Rav said that if it's enough when you have two, he was going according to a different Braisa. The Tanya, we learned a Braisa. Shnia Chachama, a Sanhedrin that has two such people, is a wise Sanhedrin. Shlishis Ein Lamaila Hemena. And if you have three, then there's nothing greater than that. There's two different Braisas. One says it's two or three, the other one says three or four. So Rav is following the second Braisa. Okay. Since we mentioned that Shimon HaTzimni was sitting on the ground in front of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Shua and Rabbi Akiva and learning from them, so now the Gemara is going to digress a little bit to talk about, in many different places in Shas, we have expressions that refer to one or another of the Chacham. Some of them sound like very generic expressions. Like, for example, one of the expressions we're going to have is, one of the last ones we're going to have is sholcho mitam. They sent a message from there in Eretz Yisrael. Face of it, it could mean any of the chachamim. But we're going to say it means one particular one. So we're going to list a bunch of these nicknames and appellations and expressions like that and talk about who they refer to.
We did a lot of sholcho mitam.
Yes, indeed. In Bava Basra, we had it over and over, yeah. Okay. Lemedin lifnei chachamim, when we use the expression those who learned in front of the chachamim said such and such, that means Levi mei Rebbe. That means we're talking about Levi, who sat and learned in front of Rebbe, said such and such. When we mention donin lifnei chachamim, when we mention those who argued in front of the chachamim, they are Shimon ben Azai, Shimon ben Zoyma, Chanan Amitri, Chanani ben Chachinai. Those four are the ones who are donin lifnei chachamim. Those are the ones who, when we have a Mishnah, a Braisa that mentions those who argued in front of the chachamim, such, we're talking about that group of people. It's important to know, because that way we know which manda omer it is. That way, for example, we might find a stira between that and something else besides that. Kol omer davar b'shem omer, you know, we want to say it in their name, yeah? Rav Nachman Meitzchuk learns that there weren't four of them that were five. Four of them are the same ones as before, but he adds another one. Shimon. He says there were three Shimon. Besides four, apparently it was a very popular name in those days, besides Shimon ben Azai and Shimon ben Zoyma, by the way, you know, and usually we hear them as ben Azai and ben Zoyma, from Pirkei Avos, for example.
Yeah.
Some of Pirkei Avos, ben Zoyma and ben Azai, we see from here that their names were actually Shimon. Their personal names are Shimon. And he adds, the third Shimon that he adds is Shimon HaTimni, that we mentioned before, Shimon HaTimni, who was sitting in front of Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. Chanan v'Chananya, and he agrees the other two, Chanan HaMitzri and Chananya, and Chananya ben Chachim. Rabbi Tzeinu Shebababo, when we use the expression in Shas, all Rebbe's in Babo, that means Rabbi Shmuel. When we say Rabbi Tzeinu Shebe'eret Yisrael, all Rebbe's in Eretz Yisrael, that means Rabbi Abba. When we use the expression Dayone Goyla, the Dayonim of the Goyla, Goyla in a general sense means Bavel, but more specifically we use it to mean first Nahaja and then Kopadissa, like the center of Jewish life in Bavel. It's called Goyla. We find, for example, in Rosh Hashanah, when it says that when they did the torches from one mountain to another to announce when Rosh Chodesh is, it says that after the guy would be standing on the last mountain over there and wave his torch till he sees the whole Goyla in front of him looking like a flaming fire. The whole Goyla doesn't mean he sees the entire country of Babel. He sees the Gemara explains there in Pumbedissa. The people of Pumbedissa, each one would go onto their roof carrying a torch, and then he'd see that from a distance and it looked like one big flame. So we see from that that Pumbedissa, or sometimes Nahauda, means what's called Goyla. So over here, Dayone Goyla, who are the Dayonim of the Goyla, who is the major Dayan in Nahauda, or Pumbedissa, is Kauna. Kauna, who we met him a number of times in the Bubble. He lived in the time of Ravenshul. When we say Dayone de Eretz Yisrael, it means Rav Ami Rav
Asa. Are we going to go to these towns or all the mountains that are going to be eliminated with torches
on Rosh Chodesh? Well, when Mashiach comes. So they have more modern methods of spreading the word, right? Yeah.
What's that?
Yeah, of course.
What's that? Take it.
All right. Dayone de Israel is Rabbi Ami Rabbi. Dayone de Pumbedissa, who are the Dayone of Pumbedissa, that refers to the Papa Bar Shmuel.
Huh.
Dayone de Nahauda, which actually, I guess I take that back. Goyla, I guess, is not either Pumbedissa or Nahauda in this
right.
case. I guess it does mean the whole Bobo because we're singling out Pumbedissa and Nahauda.
Okay. Yeah.
So Dayone de Nahauda means Rab Adaba Manyum. When we say the expression Sove de Sura, the elders of Sura, that means Rab Hunav Rab Chista. Sove de Pumbedissa, when we say the elders of Pumbedissa, that means Eifa Vavimi Bnei Rach. Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Eina. That means Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Eina. Charifi de Pumbedissa, the sharp ones of Pumbedissa. That means Eifa Vavimi Bnei Rachva. They're Eifa and Avimi, the sons of Rachva. Rachva, the Gemara mentions himself in a few places that he was very medayic in everything that he heard from his Rebbeim. He always said it over very precisely. So his Talmidim were his sons, rather, with two Charifi.
What does it say
then? Where it says about Rachva, it mentions in a few places. In Psachim, for example, and in a couple of other places. Amaroi de Pumbedissa, or Rabba of Rabbi Yosef. When it says Amaroi of Pumbedissa, without specifying, it means Rabba and Rabbi Yosef. Amaroi de Nahardoi, when we say the Amaroi of Nahauda, that means Rav Chava. Nahar Baloi Masni, when we use the expression the Chachamim of Nahar Bala taught such and such, that means Romi Bab Rebbe. When we say the expression Amri Be Rav, when we say they said in the yeshiva of Rav, that means Rav Huna. The question is, don't we find in some other places where Rav Huna himself uses the expression Amri Beirav, implying that he's saying it over in somebody else's name? No, he's saying over in somebody else's name, it sounds like. Ela Rav Huna. No, Ela Rav Hamnuna. Ela Rav Hamnuna. No, rather we have to say the Rashi explains that Ela means we're changing it. Amri Beirav does not mean that Rav Huna is saying it, it means Rav Hamnuna is saying it. Tosfos discusses that and says you find in other places where it seems pretty clear that Amri Beirav does mean Rav Huna. So Tosfos explains what it means over here is in that particular case, it wasn't Rav Huna saying Amri Beirav, it was Rav Hamnuna quoting in the name of Amri Beirav, namely Rav Huna. Amri Beirav can still be Rav Huna. Amri B'mar Rava, when we use the expression they said in the West, meaning in Eretz Yisrael, that means Rav Yirmiyah. Sholcho mitam, Rav Yosi bar Chanina. When we say they sent from there, meaning from Eretz Yisrael, that means Rav Yosi bar Chanina. And when it says Mechaku Allah B'mar Rava, they laughed at this statement in Eretz Yisrael, that means Rav Olav. So the Gemara asks, well, Sholcho mitam, the Jibir Rav Yosi bar Chanina. No, it means that the Chacham of Eretz Yisrael found that what was said was incorrect. So incorrect as to be laughable, yeah. So the question is, don't we find an example, which we'll have later on in our Masechta, where Shochu Mitam discussing the opinion of Rabbi Yosi bar Chanina? So obviously he can't be discussing his own opinion. Ella, Eifo. No, you have to flip it around. Shochu Mitam is Rabbi Lozer, Mechaku Alav Amar Rava is Rabbi Yosi bar Chanina.